The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. When Kevin Starrett is not papering his office wall with all of the news releases from Republicans talking about how much great they have done, how much good they have done working with the Democrats, I don't know. Do you really do that? I think you do sometimes.
Yeah, but I need a bigger office.
You need a bigger office. But, you know, I know this is politics. You know, politics, they go to, hey, look at what we did is that, you know, we lost our soul and crossed the aisle and we helped the Democrats pass a lot of bad bills in the state legislature. But look what we brought home, right?
Well, you know, my favorite one was the one I got from David Brock Smith. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
One of the first sentences in it was, these are all the bills we stopped. Then the very next sentence was, we can't stop any bills because the Democrats have control. And I was like, wait a minute.
Okay, how can both statements be true? Is what I'm wondering.
You know, it's just like this. It's almost like all these things are getting written by AI, which is about as accurate as most journalists these days. So it was really one of the weirdest emails I've ever. Of course, it wasn't just to me. I mean, it was his newsletter.
I know.
But it was like, we stopped all these bills. It was from him, Mark Owens, and Court Boyce, of course, you know. And we stopped all these bills. We can't stop any bills. So which is it, David? Obviously, you didn't stop the windmills you said you were going to stop. But don't worry, because the windmills will be powering the cars that we're all forced to drive soon. I'm not concerned.
Okay, yeah, everything will be fine. Really, it's okay. Just nothing to see here and move along.
Yeah,
I really do think that there are many Republicans, and I am a Republican. Okay, I'm a partisan guy. I make no bones about it. I'm honest about this and just out in the open about this. But I really do feel that there are many in the state legislature, many Republicans that are kind of in this Stockholm syndrome thing. I got to make it look good. Yes, I know I'm a member of the Washington Generals. I'm here to lose gracefully, but I have to make it look. I have to make it look good, right? As long as I get some money.
I mean, if you want to get elected, you have to appear relevant.
Right.
And that's what all. But in this case, you know, I pointed this out in the last alert we did, how many of them are crowing about what a great bipartisan session it was. And of course, the Democrats were saying the same thing. And really, the only person who was the least bit honest was Dwayne Yunker, you know, who was newly appointed down there, who said literally, the Democrats are laughing at us, which of course they are, because every once in a while, the Democrats will throw a tiny bone to the Republicans, like putting some money into their district, which of course they didn't for Dwayne because he wouldn't play the game. But it's kind of the classic thing that was discussed actually quite interestingly by Jordan Peterson, who's in the study of rats. If you take a large rat and a small rat, put them together where they're supposed to play, from time to time, the large rat will let the small rat win a game, just so the small rat will continue to play.
I think you have explained the state legislature and this process perfectly. Thank you with a theory from Jordan Peterson.
I mean, okay. In order to continue to play, the small rat has to win some little tiny thing once in a while, or it just says this isn't any fun. So in this case, most of the Republican legislators, while you know crowing about bipartisanship, happened to mention, we got this, this, and this for our district.
Right.
It was only Yunker, to my knowledge, who pointed out how many untold millions of dollars were flushed down the toilet to far left partisan organizations and sports teams and stuff that the people of Oregon shouldn't be paying for. But we, the people of Oregon, are funding the very people who are determined to and are in fact destroying the state. And meanwhile, most of the Republicans are saying, hey, you know, look at, we got money for a shelter or a sewer system or something. Yeah, maybe. But you also lost billions and billions of dollars to far left organizations that are going to take what little freedom and property you have.
So, and see, and that's the point. Now, I certainly don't mind infrastructure. The infrastructure stuff is actually a useful part about this. But, you know, and I remember I had a disagreement even with Josephine County Commissioner Bearchigger yesterday, when they talked about $400 million or so going in for the library. It's not that I'm anti-library. I'm against libraries as they are currently constituted in the public library world. They are ideologically totally captured by the left. You go to the PLA, the Public Library Association. You go to the American Library Association. Everything about running a public library right now is diversity, equity, and inclusion. And essentially, they are just the friends of the Democrats. That's all there is to it. I mean,
you can go to a library in the most conservative states in this country, and people are still wearing masks behind the desk, and the books are covered with left-wing propaganda. I mean, that's absolutely true. And unfortunately, it's the same thing we see with the teachers' union. So, yeah, libraries are great resources, although I don't know, you know, how many people are still reading books. But the fact is that you're exactly right. You know, these are institutions that are controlled by the left for the dissemination of their propaganda. And
they are essentially political outposts, functioning with with taxpayer forced funding. That's the issue I've had. If the light, well, I remember there was this controversy about even them finding a way to some people to opt out of a library district. I think that also happened in Josephine County. And if the libraries were operated in a truly ideologically neutral fashion, no one would be trying to escape it. They'd be saying, hey, they're providing a good service, a needed service for the community. But as it is right now, it's essentially an adjunct of the Democratic Party. Just end of story.
Yeah,
okay.
And I don't have any objection to libraries having left-wing material in.
No.
I mean, everybody should have the opportunity to see both sides. But the fact is, that's not really how it works. And if we're going to subsidize it like we do with public broadcasting, we subsidize the propaganda machine for the left. That is exactly what they are. It's sometimes to the point where it's hilariously transparent, and yet we get to pay for it.
Yep, absolutely. And that's why I'm not a fan of paying for it. Since you're not going to be ideologically neutral, I don't want to send you money. That's the way I look at it. But anyway, let me go to the matter at hand here, because you and I, we could noodle around on this kind of stuff all morning. I love it, but don't get me wrong. Let's talk a bit about a very interesting court decision made the other day. In fact, it was an Obama-appointed Illinois federal judge. And this is about the Second Amendment. And so I thought, hey, I'd like to talk with you about this, Kevin, because I'm thinking it's an interesting decision, but it may be for the wrong reason. But an Illinois federal judge ruled that the Second Amendment covers the gun rights of an illegal alien, who ended up arming himself during the Summer of Love when all of the peaceful protests were burning down the cities. Could you set the table there? What happened? It's an interesting story, really.
Well, there's some facts that are not discussed in the most recent opinion, so I don't know what they are. But the guy was an illegal alien who was arrested for unlawful possession of a firearm in Chicago. He asked that be overruled because of the Second Amendment, and I think it was denied two times. Then it finally came back, and the judge, who in this case, although this is meaningless to me, an Obama-appointed judge, it could have been a Trump-appointed judge, said, yes, based on the recent Supreme Court decision in Bruin, it is unconstitutional for him to be denied his gun rights. Apparently, it's constitutional for U.S. citizens to be denied gun rights in Chicago, but not for an illegal alien. Now, the fact is that the person in question is a criminal by the very nature that he's here. But the court said, look, he hasn't been convicted of a felony.
Right.
And he's nonviolent. Since his arrest, and I don't know why this matters, but since his arrest, he's complied with all the conditions of his release. And so the code, the Title 18 U.S. Code 922, I think it's G5, says that it's unlawful for an illegal alien to be in possession of a firearm. And she specifically said that specific code, I think she said, as applied to him, was unconstitutional.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, it's only applied to illegal aliens, so I don't know why it's applied to him. So it's interesting from a Second Amendment perspective, but what is also interesting is her continual references back to the Supreme Court case that she based this on, which is Bruin. But if you look at Bruin refers 46 times to U.S. citizens, to law-abiding citizens. It doesn't refer to members of the public, people who are here. First of all, he's not a citizen and he's not law-abiding because he's here illegally.
He came here illegally,
and
so
he
started his appearance here being here. He's illegally present.
Right.
Okay, fair enough. But I guess that's a low-level crime these days, I guess, according to the judge, right?
Your first entry into the U.S. illegally is punishable by a fine or a maximum of 6 months in jail. You don't automatically lose gun rights until you've been convicted of something that can put you in jail for a year. So the first problem is that we have completely uncontrolled immigration to the point where countless military-age Chinese men are here, and there are barracks full of illegals from all over south of the border, which means we have gangland age and military age people who are here housed together in places where we are paying them. This is terrifying. But this guy was living in Chicago where, you know, the firearms ownership is pretty dicey issue to begin with.
Oh, it's really tough for practically anyone, you know, outside of an illegal alien, apparently, to have a firearm,
sure.
Right? To have a
now,
legal
now,
one.
If you live in Chicago, of course, you want to have a firearm because they recently replaced their hideously dangerous mayor with a hideously more dangerous mayor. But Chicago is completely out of control. And I think you and I would both agree that people have a natural right to self-defense.
Yes. Agreed.
Irrespective of, you know, who they are. But in this case, the problem is that I don't believe this judge was really a big Second Amendment supporter based on, you know, my guess about this person. But a message is being sent that we have to protect illegal aliens and maybe to kind of poke the Supreme Court over the Bruin decision. But I do think she just completely ignores the fact that the Bruin decision was very, very specific about continually referencing not only U.S. citizens, but law-abiding U.S. citizens.
But everything about the system right now, Kevin Starrett, by the way, Oregon Firearms Federation, everything about the system seems to be about breaking down the concept of citizenship, right? We are global citizens is what the left is saying, and maybe she's part of the useful idiot here. And let me just continue on. Maybe the whole idea, what this judge was doing, granting an illegal alien essentially the right to keep and bear arms that would otherwise not be available for other residents of Chicago, maybe it's about breaking the system down to the point where there's no question about voting rights for in federal elections, even though that's illegal right now.
Well, in many places, illegal aliens already can vote. They can vote in local elections.
In local elections, but they never, ever, ever have cast votes in national elections, right? Never.
Yeah, that, of course not.
No.
You know, I mean, it's just, yeah, I mean, for, you know, my older son, who hasn't even lived in Oregon for years, still gets ballots, as does his wife. You know, they haven't lived in Oregon for years. But it's not just that issue. It's just that if you look at what's happening in firearms-related cases around the country, everything's just basically coming apart. There is decision after decision that completely contradict each other. And, of course, this is happening with the immigration issue as well. The Supreme Court just said, yes, Texas can arrest people who come in here illegally, until yesterday, when a lower court overturned what the Supreme Court said. So now Texas can arrest illegal aliens again.
Now, I'm told by a representative from Fair U.S. that really this is going to end up back in the Supreme Court. It was really just a matter of whether or not it could be enforced while it's being appealed and going through the judiciary, I guess. That's what we're looking at. So
yeah,
it's going to be back in the Supremes again at some point.
Yeah, it is, as theoretically are all these things. But it's taking so long that the damage that's being done, you know, for example, our lawsuits in Oregon to block Measure 114, everyone assumes that eventually these cases will wind up in the Supreme Court one way or the other. And that's you know, one of the complications why we wound up being involved in two separate lawsuits, one on the federal level, one on the state level. But I believe they will. The problem is when, and until they do, and until this is resolved, at any time, you know, we lost on the federal level. That is now pending appeal in the Ninth Circuit, but has been pushed back indefinitely while I deal with other matters, which really, in many ways, aren't relevant. The state case is being appealed as well by the Department of Justice, who we just gave another vast amount of money to run anti-gun studies. And until the Supreme Court decides these things, if this takes effect, it will be essentially the end of legal gun sales in Oregon and new impositions on people who can be arrested and charged with a crime anytime simply for having a functioning firearm. And so while we understand or believe that these things eventually will be resolved in the Supreme Court, until they are, just like with all these other issues, the damage that's being done is totally incalculable, as we have millions and millions of people swarming across our borders who we then pay to be here many of whom undoubtedly came here to kill us. And so, you know, there's not a whole lot of comfort that comes from the understanding that these things will eventually be resolved in the Supreme Court.
If this Coleman decision that we're talking about from Chicago ends up standing, in which the illegal alien would appear to have a superior gun right to other Chicago residents, this seems to be about the sowing disorder. Would that be fair?
Well, it is absolutely about that. And you know, you were talking earlier about the possibility there won't even be elections. And if there's no elections, or if the election is fixed once again, so Trump is defeated, then the Supreme Court will be stocked and stacked, and all these decisions will be reversed. But this is ultimately about the complete destruction of the normal American society on every level. And in Oregon, it's just constant. I mean, Oregon is like really the point man for the destruction of this country.
Yeah, you know, the Greater Idaho movement's looking better all the time.
Well, of course, the Greater Idaho movement requires the approval of Oregon. And Oregon is basically kind of like a bad marriage. Rural Oregon is the battered wife of Portland. Portland's never going to let her go because she provides things that this battering husband wants and who enjoys battering. You know, rural Oregon are comprised completely of stupid, rube, hillbilly, knuckle draggers.
Okay, well, maybe the battered spouse in Oregon politics needs to set the nasty husband on fire in bed.
And it could. In fact, it could if the county commissioners in rural Oregon stood up and said, yes, we understand there's going to be a price to be paid for this, but we're not taking this crap anymore. And, you know, I've spoken to county commissioner candidates, and in fact, I've spoken to candidates who are commissioners and want to go to the legislature and said, you know, don't you think that the county commissions are maybe the last place we're not going to win anything in Salem? It's not going to happen. And in fact, you know, in conversations I've had with candidates for the legislature, I said, you have to understand.
You have to be obstructionist. That's all you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. If you get there, it's not going to be because you're going to do anything good for the state. I mean, David Brocksmith told us the Democrats can get anything they want. Your job is to stand in the way. But ultimately, and I've been saying this for years, we're not going to improve things in Salem, not in our lifetimes. The only thing that can be done is for county commissioners to stand up and have some autonomy and say, we're going to fight you. And they're afraid to because, you know, they're going to get sued. And of course, counties get sued and lose. But that fight has to happen. And they say, but, you know, the state's going to crush us. Guess what? The state's crushing you now.
Yeah, exactly. And that's also why I'm big on changing charters, not the way the Democrats are trying to do here in Southwest Oregon, but about redefining our legal relationship to be body politic first instead of agency of the state, because that's one of the ways that I believe that the state crushes the counties to an extent. Greater or lesser extent.
And if you look at the behavior of the left, certainly in the last 5 or 6 years, what the tactic has been to say is just to say the laws do not apply to us. We will do whatever we want. And even in the case of – so we had a Supreme Court decision relating to Second Amendment issues.
Right.
And Supreme Court was very clear and said, okay, listen, here's what you cannot do. You cannot have an interest balancing test, which means you cannot say that we can impose a restriction if the state decides it's good. All you could do is say, is it constitutional or not? So that's what the Supreme Court said. It's black and white. It could not be more clear. New York State immediately said, the hell with you, we're doing what we want. Judge Immergut, in our case, said, the hell with you, I'm doing what I want. She said, you have to prove that the guns we're protecting now were available in the 1700s, which is exactly what the Supreme Court said she could not do. She said, you have to prove that magazines over 2 rounds are commonly used in self-defense. That's an interesting balancing test. She was specifically instructed by her bosses not to do that. She extended a big middle finger, did what she wanted, and guess what? She's still there. And courts all around the country are just spitting in the face of the Supreme Court. And what can they do about it? They don't have their own police. So while state legislatures and elected officials and unelected bureaucrats and judges continue to just defy the law, that's the accepted policy now. And so why should counties in Oregon think that they have to play by the rules all the time. And every time they're told you can't do this or do that, back away. They should say, screw it. We're going to do what we want because, frankly.
Well, in other words, play by the Democrat rules. You're saying play exactly by the Democrat rules. And it's there's going to be a cost to pay for this, but you play by the Democrat rules. If you're going to go anarchy, if you're not going to respect the rule of law, Democrats, fine. Two can play that game. I'm all right with that. Really, I am.
And you know what? I don't. That is not an appealing idea to me because, you know what, I don't find anarchy appealing. I think that we wound up with laws and rules for a reason, and that as we have moved away from laws and rules, life has become pretty damn dangerous. Anarchy is not a good political system, but getting smacked around constantly as the Republicans are and sitting there saying, thank you, sir, may I please have another, is not the answer too.
Point well taken. And, anarchy is not a good thing. And the Democrats have been bringing in anarchy, but anarcho-tyranny is even worse. And that's kind of where we've kind of taken it, where
it's exactly right.
Yeah.
It isn't really true anarchy because, our side doesn't get to behave the way they want either. It is true tyranny. And the tyranny it's absolutely absurd that we have to fight Measure 114. Measure 114 is so blatantly on its face unconstitutional that an idiot can see that. But the idiots in black robes refuse to because the idiots are like Judge Egan on the Oregon Appeals Court are vicious partisans, as they are all over the country. And the rules do not apply to them. But for some reason, we keep hearing the people who theoretically represent us saying we can't do this. We can't be. I mean, gosh, I remember not long ago, even Representative Bentz making a comment about a bill. Oh, I think it was the impeachment of Mayorkas, where he was opposed to it because, we're Republicans. We don't act like that. It's like, okay, we'll continue to get smacked around, but the people you represent would prefer not to be in that position.
Fair enough. Now, there was another reason why he did that. There's not time to go into it right now, so I'm going to set that aside at the moment. But the point well taken is that, if you're being told, if the Democrats are going to tell Oregon that we're not going to follow the law necessarily, then, this is why when you send Republicans to the state legislature, they need to be breaking things and obstructing rather than helping them continue where they're going.
Absolutely.
Okay?
I mean, you look at what's going on in a place like Portland, where criminals and anarchists are routinely rewarded. If you've ever seen any films from when Mao took over China, all you see are statues being toppled and people on their knees in the street, dunce caps. So the anarchists go topple statues in Portland. Now they've been rewarded with a new policy where the Portland government says, hey, you know what? You don't have to rip down those statues. You send us an email, and if a statue offends you, we'll rip it down for you.
Yeah, just send us a little note on what is bothering you out there. Kevin, I always appreciate the talk there, like I said. And going back and circling around back to this court decision in Illinois about the illegal immigrant there, it may be an interesting correct decision, but done for the wrong reason. And the wrong reason is what we need to continue to focus on here, because there's a lot of wrong reasons being done these days.
Yeah, and it may be the wrong decision based on Bruin, which, as I said, constantly refers to law-abiding
citizens,
of which this guy is neither.
Yeah, an interesting elevation, all right? Hey, appreciate the call always from Oregon Firearms Federation, OregonFirearms.org. Very thought-provoking as always. We'll have you back as usual, okay? Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, 737 at KMED, KCMD. When the IRS comes knocking, the news can be shocking. Tell them you've hired a CPA tax expert at First Response Resolution, located in Eagle Point. Leave speaking with the IRS to Zach. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com today for a free consultation.
We've heard it all.
That electric gate has a mind of its own.
My backup camera needs to beep sooner and louder.
Since when is there a stop sign at that intersection?
Then Max jumped in my lap and, well, you see the results.
But the reason you need auto body repair doesn't matter to us as much as making your car look new again, and the process easy for you. At Lithia Body and Paint, we've been getting Southern Oregon drivers back on the road since 1946. Speed, service, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
At Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company, we provide well water services to your home and business from field to tap. Our drilling team will construct your water well, and our technicians at Siskiyou Pump Service can take it from there with pump installation, water filtration systems, and installation of a holding tank if needed. Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company are here for you with complete well water services from field to tap, serving the Rogue Valley for over 50 years. Visit us at siskiyoupump.com.
It's okay to ask for a little advice at Freddy's Diner.
Are you ready to order?
Ooh, always a tough call. Burgers, sandwiches, melts, fried chicken, smoked brisket. The daily special looks good, too. Any suggestions?
Well, we have seafood, too. Our hand-dipped fish and chips is pretty hard to beat.
Sounds good.
There's something for everyone at Freddy's Diner in Old Town, Eagle Point.
Open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner.
Patio season weather is coming, and Terra Firma Foundation Systems is here if you need us. Our outdoor spaces have never been more important than the past few years. If your concrete patio is cracked, settling, or separating, Terra Firma can restore and restabilize sunken concrete in just a few hours. The foam technology settles underneath and lifts patios, garage slabs, steps, and more. It's fast and affordable. Get your outdoor spaces ready with Terra Firma. Visit GoTerraFirma.com. That's GoTerraFirma.com.
This is Insurance Agent A.
Hey.
He sells for one company only.
It's the absolute best.
To my right, an exemplary insurance agent, an independent, which means...
I can help you research multiple insurance plans, giving you a much better look at who actually has the better coverage.
Well, that's not fair.
That's not what our customers say.
Well, I can't compete with that.
Home, auto, health, life. Sky Park Insurance is your local independent agency that shops for the best coverage for less. Steve makes insurance easy.
KMED, KCMD News, sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
Good morning, I'm Marcus Veal with your MBC5 Morning News Update. If you live in Ashland and are thinking about buying an electric vehicle soon, you might want to hold off just a little longer. Beginning April 3rd, residents in Ashland could get over $10,000 in rebates for the purchase of any electric vehicle. This includes $7,500 from the state, $7,500 in dealer pass-through federal credits, and another $1,000 from the city of Ashland. The largest rebate will be given to those who qualify for the Oregon Charge Ahead Rebate Program. This program is available to low- or medium-income Oregon residents or nonprofit low-income service providers. More information can be found at the evrebate.oregon.gov website. Talent Middle School wrapped up a recent fundraising event with a special reward, seeing their teachers attacked with pie. Last week, staff members collected spare change from their students for nonprofit Sparrows Club USA. The three staff members who got donated to most would get a pie in the face. Here's the catch, though. The teachers didn't find out who was getting the pie until the assembly, making for an unpleasant but tasty surprise. Overall, the school helped bring in more than $1,200 for their Sparrow. Sparrow Clubs USA helps connect students with a person in their community facing challenges. The money earned benefits TMS's Sparrow, who is a student at Phoenix High School with a life-threatening heart condition. And that's a look at your morning headlines from MBC5 News. I'm Marcus Veal. Happy Wednesday.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
Hi, it's Jason at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. Through April, purchase a set of 4 Cooper tires for practically whatever you drive, and you'll get a Visa reward card in the mail. Get $100 on top of the line Cooper Discover STT Pro Mud Terrains or Cobra Instincts for your sports car. Get $75 on 5 styles of all-terrain truck tires, including the popular AT3X LT, and get $50 on 3 styles of all-season passenger tires, including Endeavor. Save on Cooper tires at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros.
If you're remodeling your house, start with the foundation. Millett Construction offers a no-pressure, thorough inspection of your home's foundation and a no-obligation estimate if your house needs work. The foundation is most important because all of the repairs and upgrades you're planning, from the floors, windows, doors, cabinets, even the roof, can be affected if your foundation is unstable. Be sure you're on solid ground. Millett Construction will level your house and correct the shifting soil problem. Visit MilletteConstruction.com.
At Batteries Plus, we want to know, what moves you? Is it an SUV or a motorcycle or a golf cart or a boat? Whatever moves you drives us. Batteries Plus, bringing power to your life. Stop in or shop online at batteriesplus.com.
Hi, this is Lisa, the Hughes Lumber Girl, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
Oh, wow, Tony Bobulinski, the former Hunter Biden business associate, is testifying. I'm sure that Biden will be removed from the White House by impeachment. I have no doubt that's going to All right. I'm just having a little bit of fun. You know, if we were talking about this testimony, I think a year ago, or the impeachment inquiry, I think it actually would have had better legs. But I don't know. I have my doubts. Just saying. Just prepping you for reality. All right. 744, we have State Senator Dennis Linthicum. And Dennis, it's great to have you back. Should I even call you still State Senator? Because I know that your wife and your chief of staff, Diane Linthicum, is running to replace you now, given that Measure 113 has claimed your right, supposedly, for re-election. So Diane's campaign, and she's working really hard to take your place. Will she be voting to break things, so to speak, or what do you think? Give me your take on that.
Well, yeah, she's a stalwart. She got, you know, endorsed based on her own value by Oregon Right to Life, Oregon Firearms Federation, Senators McIntyre and Reschke. Reschke and I happen to be two of the most conservative Republicans, along with Art Robinson and Boquist, mm-hmm. on the Senate side. And she's got commissioner endorsements in the Klamath Deschutes County, mm-hmm. And so she essentially understands the value of simply saying no, and saying no is the hardest thing you'll face, because the chamber story, the big state, deep state, status is. Vote for the money, take home the bacon. But I see the legislature's job is not to bring home bacon. Our job is to protect the bacon, the wallets and property and values and lives of every individual that lives in the district. That's our job, to protect that and keep the state's grubby mitts off of it.
Now, I agree with you there. Now, I agree with you, Senator, but, you know, I can't help but think that many of the senators that walked out, I mean, those 10 that were then disqualified because of Measure 113, that was pushed by the public employee unions. A lot of people don't know that. And it was pushed by the unions. And the last thing they want is political bacon, or, you know, monetary bacon, the taxpayer money being protected. And I think that was one of the reasons why they wanted you out. They wanted more pliable people coming in there, the ones that'll say, hey, look what I brought home to my district, rather than, all right, did you really fight the opposition party or not? Or are you just making it look good? You know, that kind of thing. Would that be fair to say what
Oregon
happened?
Oregon Supreme really? Court, you know, made it so that there will never, ever be another legislator who says no to the deep state. Mm-hmm. They'll just say yes, all day long, because it does. You cannot walk. You cannot deny quorum. The comment made earlier was, we can't stop any bills. And that's true. So the only bills that got stopped were bills that the Democrats were willing to wait till next year, you know, and next yep. year they'll have a bunch of weaklings in office if we don't get individuals like Diane elected.
That's why you need to be replaced with Diane. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And so what you're running for right now, and I'll talk with Diane. I'll have to bring her on a separate time, all right? What I wanted to talk with you about, though, is that you're running for Secretary of State. This is a big deal. Statewide election is a hard one for Republicans to win. But you have a name recognition, and I think you also have an issue that you can really bring when it comes to election integrity, because the cheat machine is still in there. And the Secretary of State is a very powerful position in the state of Oregon, Dennis. And I'm thinking about the rules that came down from the Secretary of State's office that made it next to impossible to examine election ballots here without having a million or more to be able to pay a county to examine ballots. I mean, this is a big deal, isn't it? You know, to get wrest Democratic partisan control from the Secretary of State's office and have it actually be a Secretary of State office for the people, for the whole people.
It's a very big deal right now. One of the items on the Secretary of State's webpage says that that office will promote public access to records of Oregon government,
except for ballots, though. Except ballots.
Well, we'll see. It doesn't say except ballots in this little bullet. This makes it sound like everybody's benevolent and government is just here to ensure you get the information
yep.
you need. Another line item there is equitable access to our democracy. It does not say equitable access to our Republican form of state government. And that's what I would change. This is just a website. Anybody can edit it on Tuesday morning. As soon as I'm elected, I will change this so that we start promoting the American ideals. There's no sense in us promoting these leftist ideologies when we can stand up and have these creedal values and say, this office is to promote equitable access to our Republican form of government. And Republican doesn't mean party affiliation. It means Republican form of government where different jurisdictions maintain their integrity and are and can be in opposition to the federal government on various issues, like Texas Governor Abbott. He's in opposition to the federal government on this issue, and that's a Republican form of government. That's his state's right to stand up against the bureaucracy of the Biden administration, which is just letting illegals flood into the United States of America. And we have no idea how this is going to end, but it's going to end it probably in more chaos rather than less.
Well, a shot across the bow of the Oregon blob. You know, I always talk about the federal government is a blob. You essentially have the uniparty blob. Oregon has the same sort of situation. It just tends to be largely Democratic controlled and a lot of compliant and pliable Republicans who have said, okay, well, I can't do anything about this. I might as well bring the bacon home to my district, you know, that kind of thing.
And you know, actually, none of the people on Main Street want to see their taxes go to these things, quote unquote, that are promoting state interests. They would rather keep their money at home. Mm-hmm. See, if the state taxes away your money, you cannot support Oregon Right to Life because you're standing in line trying to get a slab of meat for this week. But if you get to keep your money, you get to keep your taxes, you get the ability to use your property in the way that suits you appropriately, then you can donate to Oregon Right to Life, or you could donate to Oregon Firearms, or you could donate to a political candidate or the Goodwill. It does not matter, but you get to control where that money goes. When the state takes the money, they simply steer it towards organizations that they believe in, and those aren't necessarily the same organizations that you believe in.
All right. Now, let's take it. Let's go here. And Secretary of State candidate Dennis Linthicum here, you know, on the program. ElectDennis.com is his website. One of the biggest powers and one of the – and I remember when former state representative and former Secretary of State Dennis Richardson, you know, the late Dennis Richardson – you know, last Republican to have actually held this office a number of years ago, he told me that the biggest deal about being Secretary of State is the audit power. Would you agree with that? What is your take on, and what could you do as an auditor of the state agencies?
Well, yeah, the Secretary of State's position, this is the chief elections officer, number one,
right.
The chief auditor, number two, and oversees the state archives and Oregon division as well, also a member of the state land board and chair of the state sustainability board, the Oregon Sustainability Board. So these are three very important issues, and I think the elections officer comes to the top of the list in this little piece on the Secretary of State's position paper. It's at the top because it's one of the most fundamental and most important, followed by auditor. So auditor comes in second here.
Okay.
Because you get to hold the legislature and their NGOs, commissions, and departmental agencies, including executive offices, you get to hold them accountable using plain language and increasing the availability of information to the citizen on the corner.
Can you actually audit the election process? And the reason I'm bringing this up, something that I have and other listeners have made note about this, Dennis, is that because of the changes in the Postal Service, Southern Oregon ballots have to go to Multnomah County first. before they're going to come back. And, you know, this whole chain of custody issue with mail-in ballot, which means there really is no chain of custody. Could you see an issue going on with sending Southern Oregon ballots to Portland to hopefully come back and then be counted? What do you think?
Right. Well, isn't this interesting? As the federal government gets more and more inefficient, Biden's economy, let's go Brandon type stuff, all of a sudden, all of our ballots are not going. Klamath used to send them to Medford, and then Medford would distribute them. Now Klamath sends them to Portland. Medford sends them to Portland. Everybody in the state is sending them to Portland.
It just reminds me of a perfect storm of the fix is in, right? You know, the fix is in. Because there's, I mean, it's yet another opportunity for people who want to cheat to screw with the, you know, the chain of custody issues up there.
And that's the big point. The moral hazard that the majority party, the single party Democrat machine has put into place isn't an accidental, unintended consequence. This is purposeful. This has been strategically organized to ensure power that can't be wrested from them. And I look forward to being actively involved in all of these issues as Secretary of the State. And I'm looking for votes from the people in Medford, even Ashland. They should want a free and fair open election. And we should do our best to help them acquire that function from their state government.
Dennis, with you as Secretary of State, could you actually reinterpret the rules in a way that are more common sense when it comes to election?
The rules came from the Secretary of State's pen. So,
well, no, I get that.
I could remove that rule that was supposed to be about privacy. No doubt there would be lawsuits and somebody would claim they had their dog's name on it and somebody now knows how their dog voted. Oops, I mean how they voted. But I don't see that as a winnable case. I think the real deal is access to these ballots ought to be universal. Even
if you're a Democrat and you think there's a problem with an election, you should be able to look at it. If you're a Republican, same thing. If you're an independent, same thing. If you are a citizen, you should be able to examine the ballot images without having to have a court order, in essence, or having to pay $1 million.
That's right. Okay. That's right. You know, and $1 million for Jackson County. Imagine what Multnomah County would be like. No wonder Washington, Clackamas, Multnomah, those giant counties with population wise, you know, somebody requesting from those counties would just be enormous if they applied the rule in the same way, in the same fashion. So that rule needs to be struck, rewritten, clarified, identified, and we don't need to use people power, which is extremely expensive given Oregon's minimum wage.
Well, whatever you examine, whatever you're not allowed to see, Dennis, there's no way for you to audit it. There's no way for you to trust it. I'm talking about even we the people. There's no reason that, you know, post-election after a while that the ballot images just aren't on a state database that you can just take a look at. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to do that. No.
And the state legislature says you only have to keep them for 2 years.
So, well, that's to make sure that if there's some hinky that nobody can do anything, you know.
That's right.
It gives the appearance of impropriety. And this is something that should be that everyone, whether you're from the left, the right, in between, should be in favor of: completely open, accountable, and auditable elections. You know, in other words, the ability to audit. And if you can't look at it, you can't audit it. You can't be sure what's going
right.
on.
Right. And I think the Secretary of State plays another major role, and that's promoting these ideas, because the IRS makes you keep your tax records for 7 years. Okay, voting records should be kept for the same amount of time versus only 2 years. We're already at mark three from the last stolen election, if you consider it stolen, or the last valid election, if you consider it valid. The truth is, you and I will never know without performing an audit, without looking at the details.
Why wouldn't they require the elections just to be kept, the images for ages? We're talking about a computer hard drive scan, right? Isn't this stuff pretty cheap these days to store? you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In the when this legislation was written, hard disk storage, hard drive storage was extremely expensive. I was a software engineer back in the day, and everything we did was designed to compress data to make it take fewer bytes on a drive, et cetera. Then as disk drive technology became so cheap, everybody started keeping everything. That's how the federal government can't possibly keep all the data they are requesting about transportation and private families and your phone calls and your emails if the technology was expensive. But because we've kind of cut our own throat with these statists that are in power, we've made the technology cheap through capitalism. Now the socialist gang is trying to use that cheap technology to stifle our opinions and our perspective.
And, of course, you're running for Secretary of State to be able to right that ship and balance it, provide balance and, you know, transparent and accountable elections and so much more, which I wish you the best on this one, okay? ElectDennis.com. And State Senator Dennis Linthicum running for Secretary of State of Oregon. It's going to be an interesting year, Dennis. We'll have you back, okay? You be well.
You bet. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
It's 8 o'clock. KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KCMD, Grants Pass, Translator K294AS, Ashland. And we're going to have some more fun, some more great talk. And we might have our Diner 62 quiz coming up in just a few minutes. I'll think about that during the news break, okay? Well, I'll get back to you.